Prophet Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In the late 1800s, two men robbed a mail train in America. They were caught and tried and convicted and given the sentence of death. And one of them was executed immediately. The other one had friends who made an appeal to the president. And after some consideration, the president granted a pardon for the man. Now that didn't make him guiltless, but he was granted a pardon. The man refused the pardon, which was unheard of. Never happened before. They didn't know what to do. So they referred it back to the Supreme Court. And after months of deliberation, they judged that if a pardon was to have any effect, it had to be received by the person it was given. If it wasn't received, then it had no effect, and justice took its course. Now, what's not in question tonight is your guilt. Every one of us is guilty. Every one of us. What's in question tonight is whether you will accept the pardon that God is offering in the glad tidings. Now, the President of America could issue a pardon without any personal cost to himself, but God can't do that. He couldn't do that. Ours is a pardon bought with blood. That is, that somebody else paid the price. Now, we've all sinned. We've all offended God. Sin is against God. We're creatures of God. Do you believe that? Do you accept that? In the beginning, God created the worlds and everything that's in it, and placed man in that world for his pleasure. You have a responsibility to God, whether you accept it or not. That's why Darwin's theory was so popular, because it wrote God out of the creation and wrote man out of any responsibility to that God. But the truth stands that you as an individual are responsible to God, and you as an individual will meet God. Make no doubt about that. Where do you stand tonight in relation to your matter of your sins? Sin is against God. David said, against thee only have I sinned. Sin is against God. God is offended. How do you treat sin? Can I ask you that? How do you treat it? Is it a light matter? I think people trivialize it in the world, you know. Just think of how sin entered the world. Okay? Just a simple act of disobedience. God said, you'll not take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Simple act of disobedience. And you know, three chapters later, God repented that he'd made man, because the world was full of sin, and God's thoughts and man's thoughts evil continually. Thank God for Noah. God had in mind to sweep the entire scene in judgment. And he would have been entitled to do so. But Noah found favour with God. And 8 souls were saved through the flood. The man's proved that the world was underwater. Okay? That's been proved by man. He didn't believe it in the scriptures, but man's proved that. And he's also proved that every single person in the world, their DNA goes back to a man who lived in Mesopotamia at the time of Noah. So they proved that as well. But that only shows the unbelief. I believe God's word from cover to cover. This is God's word. And it tells me everything I need to know. It tells me that I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death has passed upon all. Has anybody escaped? Death? Nobody. Death has overtaken everybody. It would never have overtaken my Saviour if he hadn't given up his life for me. And that's what the gospel is about. It's about a glorious man who has provided a way in which you can receive a pardon from God. Pardon for your sins. But there's something greater. Because the pardon can clear you completely in the sight of a holy and righteous God. So that you can be before God as if you'd never sinned at all. That is the effectiveness of the work of Jesus, who bore my sins in his body on the tree. That's why God can offer a pardon to you tonight. Because my Saviour Jesus paid the price in full at Calvary's cross. Now I can't appreciate what it meant for him to do that for me. What it meant for a sinless man to take on my sins. To be before God as a sin bearer. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. That's what Jesus has done for you. Remember that tract? That simple tract. You'd think that someone loved you quite a lot. If they died for you, Jesus did. God commends his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the love of God expressed in the glad tidings tonight. The love of God is boundless, perfect, causeless, full and free. Our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Think of the heart of God. Think of Isaiah speaking these words. This was a God that he knew. Think of chapter 6 when he saw the glory of Christ. It says he saw the glory and spoke of him. What a prophecy it was, you know. He knew from chapter 1 of a God who was prepared to reason with you in relation to your sins. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. How is that possible? Because they're washed in the blood of Jesus. That's how it's possible. You can be cleansed, clear tonight, if you come and put your trust in this blessed Saviour. He knew from chapter 7 that Emmanuel was going to come, you know. God with us. I've heard their cry and come down to deliver. How was man to be rescued? No act of power, you know, could e'er atone. No wonder-working word could from the brightness of the throne make love's sweet voice be heard. God could bring worlds into being with a word of his power. But he could not remove your sin and mine by power. if sinners ever were to know. What it cost was immense. The blood of Jesus, God's only Son. Well, he came down. That's how he got close to man. He became man. Who was here in lowly guise? God over all, blessed forevermore. That's Jesus. The holy thing that shall be born. The creator of the universe was in Bethlehem's manger. Can you take it in? Touching humanity at its weakest point. Is a saviour for everyone. Everyone tonight. God has shut up all in unbelief. That he might bring in judgment. No. That he might show mercy to all. This is a God who's rich in mercy. So Jesus comes. He comes. Isaiah knew from chapter 28 that God was going to lay for foundation in Zion a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Who's that? That's Christ. What are you trusting in tonight for soul salvation? Do you hope that it'll be all right in the end? That you've done your best, you know? You'll find, as Isaiah says, that the bed is too short and the covering is too narrow. If you're not trusting in the blood of Christ, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, what you are, what I am, according to flesh, was finished at Calvary's cross. God headed up that order of man in his own beloved Son. Jesus took my place at Calvary to bear the judgment that was due to me, that I might go free. That's why I can stand here tonight and tell you of such a Saviour. His blood availed for me. It availed for many, if not all, in this room. Has it availed for you, my friend? Tried. A precious cornerstone. And he that trusteth shall not make haste. Oh, dear friend, are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Where do you stand tonight? We read of a man in Scripture who was told that this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared. Oh, the folly of a life without Christ. You know, men make plans for this, that and the other, for retirement, for pensions, for all the rest of it. And no thought as to an eternal welfare. Where will you spend eternity? Oh, death's the end. Let me tell you, dear friend, death is most certainly not the end. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after death, the judgment. These are two appointments that you will definitely keep. He knew from chapter 32 that a man would be as a hiding place from the wind. God's judgment, the wind of God's judgment, is coming upon the world. The world is a judge system. We think that things, or some think that things, are going to get better. It's a false hope. Things are getting worse. The world is hastening and ripening for judgment. How shall we escape if we're negligent of so great salvation? You won't escape. You can't escape God. Whither shall I flee thy presence? David said, though I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, behold, thou art there. Remember the man who tried to get away from his circumstances. He boarded a boat, and there it was, the Wings of the Dawn. The boat was called the Wings of the Dawn. You can't get away from God. You will have to meet God. You'll have to give an account. That man was found wanting, just like Belshazzar, weighed in the balances and found wanting. How would you fare in God's scales tonight? Would the blood of Christ come down on your side? He knew from chapter 45 that God desired to bless the whole world. Look unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. I am God, a just God and a Saviour. God so loved the world. John 3:16. How many have been saved by that one verse? God so loved the world. These words were uttered by the very one who was to give effect to that salvation. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life eternal. You know, you're lost without Christ. As you sit in your seat, you're lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why wouldn't you surrender to Christ tonight? Why wouldn't you accept this pardon that's offered to you in the glad tidings? Come through faith and repentance. Is it too simple? It was too simple for Naaman. He had a better way, you know. He had a better idea of how to be cleansed. Thank God he was appealed to by those who loved him. They're appealing in the glad tidings tonight. There's no other Saviour. There's no other way of salvation. Peter says salvation is in none other. For neither is another name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. He knew from chapter 59 that God's hand was not shortened, that it couldn't save. But your iniquities. God can't overlook sin. He wants to bless you, but he can't overlook your sin. That's why he's provided a way where you can be blessed by putting your faith in Christ. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. There was no way back for Adam, you know. No way back. We were reminded last week of the flame, the flashing sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So that man in his sinnership would never live forever. But the way to the tree of life has been opened up. A sword went through the soul of my Saviour to open up the way to the tree of life. Wonderful, isn't it? Man, as we've been reminded, is looking to live forever, looking for ways of extending his life. Man is going to live forever. Those who accept Christ as their Saviour will be with him eternally. And those who refuse him will be in a Christless eternity. Death, you know, is a defeated foe. Every single person who's ever lived will be brought out of death. Do you believe that? Man like to just put it away. That's the end. It's not. Sobering. Great white throne involves those, the dead, great and small. There. Persons say what they're going to say to God, you know. There's not a voice raised. Not a voice raised. Everybody knows why they're there. There'll be no unbelievers in hell, you know. Hell is a reality. Why? How do I know that? Because no one spoke more about it than my Saviour. If you look through Scripture, Jesus spoke more about hell than anybody. It's a necessity of the love of God. Because if you refuse what is offered in the glad tidings tonight, judgment awaits you. It's as simple as that. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. These doors may be locked next Lord's Day. Persons may come here to hear the gospel and there'll be no gospel. While he may be found. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's a well-accepted time. It's possible to come tonight. Who of us knows what a day will bring forth, you know? You don't have to be old to die. You're that footballer. Footballers are heroes, you know. Football grounds are the new churches. That's what's happening in the world. Transferred from Nantes to Cardiff, before he even played a game, he lost his life. A young man in his prime. Accept Christ tonight before it's too late. God doesn't have to give you another opportunity. He doesn't have to. It's my responsibility to tell you the truth about where you stand before a holy and righteous God and to tell you about a way of salvation. It's your responsibility to accept it. And let me tell you that your response will be recorded in heaven tonight. And this answer may be your last answer. I appeal to you. Accept Christ. Come by faith and repentance. Just accept, like the thief on the cross, we indeed justly, we receive the just recompense of what we've done. But this man has done nothing amiss. Faith in Christ and repentance towards God is the way of blessing. It's the way to receive the abundant pardon that God is offering in the glad tidings. And I would urge you not to trifle with God's offer. It's cost too much. Can I appeal to you again? If you don't know the Saviour, come tonight. If you do know the Saviour, can I ask you to consider committing your life to him? There is no one ever regretted doing that. May you do so for his name's sake.